Our next speaker actually is hung up in California. Ron Hyde, the president and CEO of PRL Logistics, was scheduled to be here today to give us an update on the blimp project, and unfortunately got stuck down with Lockheed Martin down in California. So he has promised that when he gets back, we'll figure out something over the next 6 to 12 months to get him in front of a group so that people can see what's going on there. So our next speaker is actually a couple of folks. One of the things that I've learned over the years has been when you start talking fish, there's a lot of different sides to it, and it's very difficult to get everybody to play nice sometimes. This past summer, I was approached by the Alaska Humanities Forum. They had put together an organization which is called the Alaska Salmon Fellows. The Alaska Salmon Fellows is an attempt to try and get folks from all the different parts of fishing together to be able to help try and see what we can do as we move forward with the resource and how people can complement each other and work with each other. I was asked when they actually had one of their meetings at the cannery, and I was actually asked to sit down with a couple of the fellows to find out a little bit more about what was going on. And naturally, I had some questions and, you know, people trying to figure out what they were doing and whether they had an ulterior motive or what the whole piece was. And I told the two women that I met with when we were done that my goal for them was that instead of me racking my brain to try and figure out who I could bring up here that would be able to have a foot in both camps so that I wouldn't be told that I was supporting one without the other, my goal for them was for them to be able to come and make a presentation for us so that we could find out a little bit more about what they're doing and hopefully what they're going to be doing in the future and the next cohort that they're going to be working with. So we have three individuals here today. We have Jennifer Gibbons, who is the Leadership Program Manager for the Alaska Humanities Forum. She has served in a variety of different roles, especially here on the Kenai Peninsula. She was involved with the Alaska Sea Life Center, editor of the Cordova Times. She was president of the Cordova Chamber of Commerce. So she's got a lot of great background and working with a variety of different groups. Then we have Ben Moore, has worked in support of the Pebble Mine Project, managed a successful United States Senate campaign, served as a senior policy advisor to Governor Parnell on fish, game, and public access issues, and is currently managing the lands and resources for CIRI. Besides those two, we also have Mary Sattler-Peltolo. She has spent 10 years as a state representative from Bethel. She worked in community relations for 6 years for the Donlin Gold Project, and the last 3 years has been a registered lobbyist for the Alaska State Legislature and co-chair of the Kuskokwim River Salmon Management Working Group. I appreciate them coming to speak today, and hopefully this is the beginning of the Alaska Salmon Fellows helping the Kenai Peninsula as we wrestle with fish items over the years. So you all want to come on up and make your presentation. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm Jennifer Gibbons, and I just want to thank you all for the opportunity to come today and talk a little bit about the Salmon Fellows program. This was initiated by the Alaska Humanities Forum, and the mission of the Humanities Forum is to convene different people from different communities with different perspectives to talk about compelling issues, whether they be personal issues that may be affecting people, such as brain injury or women in the military, or larger issues across Alaska, such as salmon. And as we all know, salmon is really the keystone to much of our culture. It has to do with cultures, economies, the environment. It also can be a topic that is a great source of conflict. What the Humanities Forum believes that it has the ability to do is to bring people from different perspectives, often people who have dramatically opposed perspectives, into a safe place where they can talk about these issues and try to find common ground. So this is a 16-month program, and we have two of our fellows here today, Ben Moore and Mary Patola, and we also have Ricky Geese is here. So hello, Ricky. Thank you for being here today. The most important thing I have to share with you today is that nominations are open for our next cohort, and this is open to all of you and anyone you wish to nominate or if you wish to apply, and so I encourage you to do so. We've left some information on the back counter, on the back tables, and also you can find more on our website. So I am very new to the program, and I'm very excited that Mary and Ben are here to talk about their experience in the program and what they feel the value is with this approach. So thank you.
That was short.
Yeah.
Is there a prize for the shortest presentation? My name is Mary Patola, and like you said, I'm from Bethel. I had the pleasure of serving as a freshman with Hal Smalley, who I see out here. I didn't get a chance to serve with Mike Navarre, unfortunately. He took off before I came in. And then I saw Mike Chenault back there, a friend of mine. Hi, Mike. And lots of other familiar faces. So the Salmon Fellows Project is something really different than anything else I've ever been a part of. I grew up commercial fishing on the Kuskokwim River. There really isn't a commercial industry there anymore. But what it's progressed to has presented me and my family with some challenges in terms of the Chinook run. And I know the Kenai is no stranger to issues with kings, and really seeing smaller king salmon, less females, later runs often mean a bad run. It's kind of a big mystery across the state. I think there are 17 river systems that have Chinook shortages. And this is extremely depressing to me. There's this very sad story. It's kind of funny. My oldest son was 15, and I asked him if he'd come drifting with me. And I grew up commercial drifting. That was my permit. It was a drift permit. So I asked my son, Conrad, will you come drifting with me? We need to catch some, or I didn't even say we need to catch some fish. He said, sure. So we go out, and you all of you who know how to run a boat and fish have been in this scenario where you're with someone inexperienced and you accidentally start yelling at them. So I picked a very bad spot to set our net. There was a lot of current, a lot of wind, opposing forces, and I was trying to run the motor and he was, and so anyway, that didn't go well. So I said, okay, this is a bad spot. Let's go down past Neposkiak. So we sat there, it was really great. We're drifting, and Conrad said, Mom, if I'd have known what you were asking me to do, I wouldn't have come. I said, well, what do you mean? I said, will you go drifting with me? He said, I thought we were gonna get in the boat and drift. So anyway, that's kind of my life story right now. I went from, commercial drifting to raising kids that, we've set net fish now because that's, long story. But okay, so this is all to say, politics is not new to me. Fishing is not new to me. But the group that has been compiled, there are 16 of us, they had funding for 12, but there were so many applicants and so many people that the forum felt would be, have a good dynamic. They chose 16 of us to serve as fellows. And it really is a good cross-section of the state. There isn't an ulterior motive. There isn't a hidden agenda. We're, after 10 years in the legislature as a sitting member doing confirmations for Board of Fish, you'd think I would be very well schooled in Kenai fish issues or the fact that I had sat on the Fisheries Committee. But we're all very much entrenched in our own regions in this state. We know very little about other regions and other interest groups. So coming down here last May and seeing video footage of the Kenai combat fishing, for some reason, only having read about it, I imagined it being very loud. And when I saw the videos, I was just amazed because it was so quiet. Just dumb, it shouldn't have been an aha moment, but it was. And then seeing why during the Board of Fish confirmations, Kenai just takes the air out of the building. Now I have a much better understanding. As somebody from Bethel, there is no place else on earth in the summer because our whole life revolves around putting up fish for the winter, or you know, if you're a commercial fisherman, it's about making money for your whole year. So I'm just telling you, the only other piece I wanted to mention is, you know, my experience with fish meetings is usually I'm so angry or so upset that it's very hard for me to listen and learn. But with the Salmon Fellows, it's a very different dynamic. We're not in a room where there's, you know, intensity or aggression or, you know, people being on any part of the stages of grief over salmon. I truly believe in my region, any given meeting, you can see where all the participants are on the grieving scale for king salmon. And that's not to make it sound dramatic. That's just really how I see things. And it's very hard to make rational decisions or have rational thought or learn under those circumstances. And the fellowship really provides that kind of calm atmosphere to learn more about our fellow Alaskans. So thank you for letting me share that.
Well, thanks for having us. My name is Ben Moore. As was mentioned before, currently I'm the land manager for CIRI, and we're the largest private property owner on the Kenai Peninsula and in the Kenai Peninsula Borough. And it's a big task, and it's a lot of fun, but I'm not here as a CIRI employee today. I'm actually here as a Salmon Fellow. My background, as was mentioned, was for a long time in the mining industry and in government relations, which rolled into some campaign work and rolled into working for Governor Parnell as his fish and game advisor, fish, game, and public access. And the main task in that office was keep me up on what's happening on the Kenai. That was where the focus was in our office. It was don't make any judgment calls. We're not here to, my job was not to direct things, but just say, what's happening out there? How are we doing? Are we maintaining within what the law says? Are we trying to keep everybody happy as much as we can? But I didn't only focus on the Kenai. I got to travel across the whole state and learn about fisheries all across Alaska. And one of the things that I noticed was happening was there was a lot of conversations. In some places, like in Sitka, the conversations were more overt, where you would have commercial fishermen and sport fishermen actually getting together at the coffee shop and talking to each other. In other places, like here on the Kenai or in Ketchikan, the conversations between the sport fishermen and the commercial fishermen needed to be a little bit more subtle or secretive because there was so much tension. There's so much fighting between these resource sectors. And it's because we all love this resource. Period. We all have a connection to salmon in Alaska. Almost all of us have a connection to salmon in Alaska. So whether you're on the Russian River participating in continuing this tradition that's been going on for 10,000 years of pulling out fish to eat in the wintertime, or you're down here at the mouth of the Kenai or along the beach harvesting for the commercial pack and continuing a tradition that's been going on for over 100 years, we've all got this connection. And we even felt it in the room when we took the stage just now. When you start talking about salmon on the Kenai and in Alaska, everything kind of settles down and everybody pays attention because we're all connected to it. So there's a lot of value to us having these conversations. What the Humanities Forum has done with the Salmon Fellows is taking these conversations that are already happening in communities like Sitka, like Kenai and Soldotna, and making it a statewide effort, where we can figure out how do we, yeah, we all share this value for these fisheries. Now, how do we better promote that together? For me, there's value to this because I'm a personal use and sport fisherman, right? I love to go dip netting down here and visit your community. You can't keep me off the Kenai in the summertime. I just love it here. And if I can't catch it in a big old net, that's fine, because I'll take a rod and reel and I'll try to pull them out somewhere else upstream. I don't feel like I have a direct connection to the commercial fishing industry. I don't buy fish, right? I don't see any direct economic benefit from the commercial fishing industry. And so it's going to be hard for me to go to bat for my neighbors who do commercial fish unless I can sit down and understand where they're coming from. And I can get into a place where we can have this conversation about why this shared resource, they should have economic benefit from it. It's a really, really valuable tool, I think, in better understanding who we are as Alaskans and how we can help each other out, how we can help maintain a diverse economic base for our state. So I know some of what I said today, you might think that a lot of these conversations are just a bunch of hippies and environmentalists sitting around in a room talking about their feelings. And largely you'd be right. But that's why it's important that you guys are interested in this. That's why it's important that I'm not the only person from industry that's in that room. Because, you know, as much as I love the fishery, my background is in mining, man. My background is in resource development. And I want to see all of those resources brought together and shared in this state. Not one over the other, but how do we all do this together? So we have to have those conversations. We need folks who consider not only the ecology, but the human environment, the economic environment, and all the other things that go into keeping us happy, healthy Alaskans. And as it relates to fish, that's where this conversation is going. So we need those folks, and we need folks like you to take an interest and be part of this second cohort. So I'd encourage you to ask us questions. I don't know if we have time, but we'd be happy to take two or three questions as a panel about our experience with these conversations. But learn more, ask more, and put your name in the hat for this. Thanks. Were there any questions related to the Humanities Forum? Yes. Yeah, so the question was, this all sounds great, but how do the general public in Alaska get an ear in the room and understand what we've been talking about and keep up on the conversations, right? How do you know what we're reading and what questions we're asking and things like that? I think Jennifer's probably got a good answer for that. We do have a public-facing side of the Alaska Humanities Forum website. So there is akhf.org. Go there and look at the Salmon Fellows portal. And there's information there. Yeah, so the question was to share the background of the fellows. There are 16 fellows in the program, and it's actually a wide variety. So my background is largely resource development, but we've got, for instance, Ricky Geese is a fellow this year who many of you in this room know has been a big proponent of sport fishing along the Kenai River. We've got English teacher from Southeast. We've got people that are commercial fishermen out of Sitka and Cordova.
The English teacher is also a sport fish guide.
Yeah, you know. He's a fly fishing guide during the summertime, and he's an English teacher during the winter.
He teaches a sport fish class at UAS. I mean, he's not just an English teacher.
They can't hear. Yeah. So we've got a healthy mix of academics and professionals. We've got somebody who's a cultural anthropologist, and just a wide variety of folks.
Yeah, so it is 16 very diverse people. They were selected, talking because coming from Cordova, a commercial fishing community, and being on the board of the Chamber of Commerce and also being editor of the newspaper, I have found that pretty much any time salmon comes up, it's wild, you know. It's hot debate, it's yelling, it's screaming, somebody even gets punched. I think our conversations are exciting, they're not quite that exciting. But, you know, the point is really to create this space where people with very diverse and opposing perspectives can share those and also learn from each other. And I think you're hearing a little bit from Ben and Mary about the value of that and being in this safe space where you can open yourself up, share what you're thinking, and maybe learn something new. You might not completely alter your perspective or your opinion, but you might have a greater understanding. And I think perhaps we could all agree that no matter what the issue in Alaska is, this is a very important way for us to approach the future. So we've got other questions or thoughts here?
I just wanted to add, there's a seiner, a trawler, a Chris Noros, who many of you know. She worked for the ATSI processors. There are users, three from the Yukon, myself from the Kuskokwim, two from Bristol Bay. So, and then sport industry is represented. So, and this is honestly one of the very few times I've actually really had a true exchange of, you know, not deep thoughts, but, you know, more than just like a casual repartee with a sport fisherman. I've seen them in Aniak, I've seen them throughout the state. I usually just see them at baggage claim and off they go in their fancy Orvis bag, you know. But it is really good to talk to them, because what I'm finding out, their motivation is much like mine, to fill up our freezer and to have that family connection with the land and the water and the place that you're from.
Any other questions?
So anyway, the project that I'm working on, each of us has a project that will hopefully go beyond the life of the salmon, this cohort of salmon fellows. So this, you know, maybe Ben can talk a little bit about the project he's working on with Ben Stevens and Ricky Geese. But in addition to kind of talking to groups like yours, we do have projects that we're working on. So we hopefully will leave, you know, a real impact as we go forward.
Yeah. So real briefly, the fellowship is funded by the Moore Foundation, and so each fellow is actually given an honorarium for being a part of this, and that money isn't just your way to slowly bleed to death the Moore Foundation, as much as some of us would like to do that. It is instead intended to have some outcomes. So we have different projects that we're working on. The idea is to find a project that works towards a more equitable and sustainable salmon system in Alaska, whatever that means. But what it means to me, at least, is I'm investigating, or what the outcome that I would like to have is for the Department of Fish and Game to take a more qualitative measure. So the Constitution says that the fisheries resource is to benefit all Alaskans. So I would like, eventually, the department to somehow start asking Alaskans, did you get enough fish? I mean, think about it. Did you get enough fish this year? What is enough fish? For me, it's a dozen. I need about a dozen fish. That's all I'm going to eat. For somebody like Ricky, it's closer to 100, because he dries a lot of fish and shares it with people. For somebody on the Yukon, it's going to be hundreds of fish, because that's what their family lives off of. I would love to see us incorporate qualitative measures into management of fishing game resources in Alaska. That's a big system change if we can make it happen. But so we're talking around it. That's not exactly the project my group is working on, but that's the direction that I want to take it. So we all do have our own little outcomes that we want to have from this.
So just to continue about your question and findings and outcomes and that type of thing, you know, this is obviously an incredibly complex topic. So the likelihood of, after this fabulous 18-month fellowship, of coming up with some neat answer to how we proceed with salmon, that is just not possible. The model, and I don't want to go too much into the model, and I'd be happy to talk to anybody who wants to get more into it, but the model involves different stakeholders coming together to try to map out themes. You know, where do they see patterns in what's affecting salmon in Alaska across all different perspectives? And then beginning to look at those patterns to see, are there opportunities here to strengthen the system? And so that's the process they're going through. I think that's probably, you know, it's fair to say that's a process that will never end over our lifetime, but trying to identify those themes and opportunities and carry those forward. And our hope is that some of the work that the first cohort is doing will inform what the next cohort is doing. This mapping is one aspect of the fellowship. Another aspect of the fellowship that I think goes a little bit to what you're asking about is networking. And so building a network of people who come to know each other around the issue of salmon and then are able to continue working together with a more informed perspective. So it's challenging, it's experimental, it's innovative, it's not going to have a neat outcome, but we're hoping that we are building something that can continue to help Alaska strengthen our salmon people system. So I hope that is maybe a little helpful. Does anybody else have any other questions? Yes.
I wouldn't say biologists that are looking at that particularly as salmon fellows, but we do have some scientists that are part of this. I'm thinking specifically of Megan, yeah, who are very familiar with the problems that you're noting. Yeah. So it's something that we're all aware of. One of the things that we've been spending some time thinking about and talking about is this idea that Alaska, as much as we like to say we've got the best managed fisheries in the world, maybe we've just been lucky. And maybe we need to take another look at the management regime, and does maximum sustainable yield actually work, or is it going to crash on itself? And the data are pretty clear that we've just been lucky. So it's one of the things we're talking about, and that's been heavily informed by the scientists that are part of this group.
Well, thank you very much for coming today. Yeah. We appreciate it. We look forward to inviting the second cohort back next year and hopefully seeing what's going on.